Merrimack River. So Mike came to me with a sketch of an idea for a song. One of the lyrics included the words Merrimack River. And it was ironic in the sense that I didn't know where it was, and Mike didn't know that I was born in Nashua, New Hampshire, and the river actually runs right through Nashua. I immediately fell in love with the idea of this song, and I think the combination of the harmony with the upright bass and the pedal steel and the strings and how the song sort of came to fruition while we were in the studio, it felt so purposeful and so fitting to open a record with. I loved the lyrical idea of restless to begin, a wave comes crashing in. I thought there was nothing more appropriate to open an album with. Ferndale. Ferndale was one of the first songs that we recorded in the studio at Ducky's house, but it was one of the last songs that Mike and I wrote together here in California before we left to go to Boston. I remember we started writing it at my house and finished writing it a few days later, maybe even a few weeks later at Mike's house, just sort of kind of adding to the song. And we recorded a demo for it. And I very distinctly remember Mike had just gotten a piano in his studio, and we were fiddling around with the sort of crescendo-y weird part of the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and Mike was adding piano. And it was so loud that actually he had a neighbor come over to complain and ask us to play a little bit quieter. So I think when it came time to really go to Ducky's and make a go at this song for real, we really went for it because we knew there would be no neighbors complaining. I could break your heart any day of the week. When we initially wrote this song, it was on acoustic guitar, and I think there was even a little harmonica on it, so it really had the feeling of like an alt-country song. But I actually bought a clavinet on eBay right before we went into the studio to make the record, and I think that idea was somehow ingrained in Mike's mind, and lo and behold, when we showed up at Ducky's house, there was a clavinet. I remember going to the grocery store with Mike the day that we were gonna start tracking I Could Break Your Heart, and he's like, I think I have an idea of how to use the clavinet in this song. And I was really curious how it was gonna turn out, and it's just funny that we went in thinking that the song was going to sort of turn out one way and sound a certain way, and it just became a whole nother beast once we were finished. And I really liked the idea of I don't know, owning and acknowledging this sense of self in a kind of tongue-in-cheek way. Whereas I've had some other songs in the past that were all about owning who you are and feeling confident and comfortable in your own skin, and this sort of, I think, took the piss out of it a little bit. Pocket Philosopher. So this song started from a desire to write a song in the vein of Randy Newman or Harry Nilsson. And it's lighthearted and it's goofy, and I think Mike and I really pushed ourselves to go somewhere that, I don't know, it was a little bouncy, almost had like a sense of a musical to it, which is definitely my cup of tea. And I think I kind of mixed in the idea of meeting somebody new and wanting to sort of stop time and get to know them and figure everything out all in one instant. So it was fun to sort of play around with that idea and that story. Song About Home. So writing this record sort of came smack dab in the middle of something that I had been struggling with for a while, which was the idea of this sense of time between the comfort and definition of your childhood home, you know, with your mom and dad and your family and growing up, and then eventually having a home with your own family one day that you start. And what that time in between really was, and does it count? Just that definition of what it really is. And I couldn't reconcile it, and I couldn't really wrap my head around that idea. And even articulating it to Mike and Anara, who I wrote the song with, I know they understood, but it was just like, it was a really difficult song for me to kind of like dig in and say exactly what I wanted to, because I didn't even know what I wanted to say. I didn't even really know how I felt completely. So oddly, it was like having to mourn the loss of the childhood definition of home before I could reach the other definition of home. And this song just sort of came about in its own little odd way. But I think Mike had this beautiful riff idea, and we just sort of took that idea and ran with it. Everblue. Oh, goodness. Everblue. It's the sole survivor of six or seven songs that I wrote with Lori McKenna. Oh, I love her so much. She's a really dear friend, and it's just always such an incredible learning experience to hunker down and write with her. I actually made a few trips to Boston. This was the first trip and the first song that we wrote of the whole batch. So I guess clearly I was in a bit of a dark spot. Maybe it's more of a sad spot. This song definitely has a heavier, more melancholy vibe, but I think it's really comfortable where it lives. It's comfortable and resigned in that sort of sadness. And I was really careful to not cross the line between bitter and annoyed. I wanted to remind the person that I'm talking to in the song that I could sort of see beyond this facade, and I could see through the cracks, and what I saw was beautiful. Love to Love Me Back. Okay, so this is the first official song that Mike and Inara and I wrote, and it became this driving force that shaped the rest of the record. This was the first song that we recorded to at Ducky's house, which was bizarre because we really got into the record so quickly. Mike and I took the red eye from Los Angeles, landed at like 6 o'clock in the morning, went right to Ducky's house and woke him up and basically got started right away because we were so excited. But it's pretty rare to get keeper sounds so quickly into a project. I mean, literally this song was done at the end of the first day. But we just really went for it, and I guess we'd all been listening to a little bit of Lindsey Buckingham, or a lot of Lindsey Buckingham, and really wanted to go with that whole sort of Fleetwood Mac vibe. Indian Summer. This was the one and only song that really carried any severe demo-itis for me. I just have this really vivid memory of writing the song with Mike and Inara at my house, and I have this like great grainy recording of Inara and I singing the song and Mike just like pounding the piano. And I think I listened to it over and over and over again before we got into the studio, and I just fell in love with the sound of it and wasn't really sure how we were going to be able to top it. Mike and I sang it together, sort of like a campfire vibe. It was bizarre. We sang it together and recorded it in the stairway. Going upstairs. It had this great sort of ambiance, but it was almost too roomy. So then I went back downstairs and tried singing over what Mike and I had sang, like singing with it, and that didn't quite work either, so I ended up just singing it by myself in the end, and I think it all sort of came together once we got to Harvard and put this beautiful harpsichord on it, and of course the unbelievable, you know, 1920s Steinway that Mike played the piano on. For the track, it's just, it makes me melt. It's something really interesting, just the way this song came together, and lyrically, the idea of, you know, talking to maybe another version of yourself, a younger version of yourself. I like the concept of maybe liking that younger version of yourself better. Nothing, Everything. As happy as I was with this like incredible batch of songs we had, it always felt like there was something missing. And maybe not necessarily musically, but lyrically. I just had this concept in my mind that I couldn't really get rid of, I couldn't shake. And Mike had been riffing for a few days. You know, we would have our own routine, get up in the morning and have breakfast and check emails. And, you know, occasionally I'd wake up and Mike would be playing guitar downstairs. And I just remember hearing this riff, this, like, you know, chord progression he had been working on for a couple days. And I was like, you know what? There's something to that. And I sat down and talked to him about what was on my mind in terms of, like, a lyrical idea. And it was something that kind of just unfolded and was finished within 15 minutes. It was literally that kind of song. And it's about telling someone really lovingly that it's time to move on because they really deserve the best. And quite possibly you're not the best for them. So I guess in a way this is a really gentle, sweet breakup song. Bug. This was the only other song written at Ducky's house. And I think I just had this real hankering for something acoustic and really simple to fall at the very end of the record. And I think the idea for this song spawned from a conversation I had with myself. It kind of goes without saying that this song is very direct and very personal, and it was always really resolute and hopeful for what was just around the corner, and I think it was the perfect note to end the record on.